What's the name of the podcast, Ethan?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's not comedy.
It's not going to be a podcast. It's going to be a fucking train wreck.
I wouldn't say that.
All right.
Jeez, which ones have you been sucking? Fucking hell.
Why do you think I'm with Matt?
That's some girth. He's a girthy boy. No. Good on him.
No.
Yeah, lucky fella.
Mm.
Welcome to How to Not Comedy. Lauren Lawrence, welcome back,
yes.
I should say. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the shittest comedy podcast in Newcastle.
The longest standing as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, longest standing and shittest.
It fucking prevails. Still going.
So many who have quit.
They tried to stop us. No one tried to stop us. No one has.
How many other comedy podcasts are there for Newcastle?
Well, there's one in Stockton, but we won't talk about that. It's shit.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah,
I've never heard of it, so that says something.
Yeah.
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 Nah,
no one has.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, Lucy. Lauren's got a dog with her. Dog's running amok.
Yeah.
She needs an emotional support human. So.
Same. I could use one of those.
Yeah, I just end up like taking her everywhere with me or getting a babysitter because, you know, surely I could work on her separation anxiety, but I don't even know how to do that for myself. So, yes.
She's anxiously attached, is she?
Very.
I've been learning a lot about all this shit. Anxious attachment and avoidant attachments and narcissists. So I've made a diagnosis.
Yeah.
Oh, Frank, that's my pet hate. Like, if you're on any advice page, like, especially for women, and someone's like, oh, my partner keeps leaving the towels on the floor.
Oh, he's a narcissist.
He's a narcissist. He's so inconsiderate. It's like, there's something so different something so different between someone being, like, selfish and an asshole, or even, like, you know, abusive, and then being a narcissist. Like, you can be the worst person in the world. But, you know, worst partner in the world, but still not be a narcissist. So that, like, every time I hear that word, my eye twitches. I'm fuck.
No,
being a cunt isn't in the DSM, but narcissism is. So,
it's such a problem of these days with access to the internet. So many people just make diagnoses, even of themselves. They're like, oh, I've got TikTok ADHD. And you're like, do you actually have it? Have you been and got diagnosed? No, I just think I do. It's like, maybe go get it checked out.
I have a GP who, you never hear of this. He bulk bills and you can generally get in on the day.
Wow.
Which means he is the shittest GP you can ever come across. So if you go in there saying, hey, I think I have this, straight up, he won't even like test you for it. So you have to pretend you don't know what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
And then in front of you, he Googles it. Like, he Googles your symptoms and everything, and then he's like, what test should I do? So he is Dr. Google, so it's hit or miss with him.
He's just on ChatGPT typing in. Diagnose my patient for me.
Yeah.
They're presented with this.
Which is so funny, considering, like, as you know, editing the AI responses and everything, training AI, it's just like, oh.
Yeah, they're not great.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But, like, if you look at video games, what Pong was, wasn't that great.
Oh, it'll get good, yeah.
It'll get
very
good
very quickly.
It'll get fucking really good.
Especially if we keep training it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's a nice segue into the show that you did.
Oh, well, I said the medical stuff. You went with AI.
I did.
So that's...
Look at me go.
Look at you go. That
it's almost
awesome.
Like we've done this 150 times before.
I didn't even mean to do it. We just ended up here already.
Just own it.
We're on track.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you did a comedy debate about AI. What was the debate?
Okay. So it was a comedic debate where they had a whole heap of, like, professionals. So they had, I think, three different university professors, like doctor this and doctor that. And then there was two other people who... I guess you could say successful. I think one's in marketing and the other guy, Evan, he actually created this whole game, Blood on the Clock Tower, which I actually went and played the other day. It's so fun. And so we were debating, should we fear AI? And I work training AI, and which is hilarious. And I guess when I did the debate, I steered into that. So the theme was we should fear AI. I was for the negative. And, yeah, I'm just a bogan compared to all these really intelligent people who don't train AI, but they're saying we should fear it. So,
yeah. That's cool. I'm glad that they at least brought one comedian in for the comedy debate.
Yeah. They tried to get me. I was like, no chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
I probably should have done it in hindsight. I didn't think they were going to be as chill as they were.
Yeah.
But I was just like, this is a risk.
Oh, yeah. I made a suicide joke. I'm really proud of that. And it landed. But you just don't know. Like, it was sold out. Like, I think almost 2 weeks beforehand it was already sold out.
Yeah.
And I think the tickets were at least $35 a ticket. So it was really a big show, but a very different audience. My mum and my sister and their friends came, which is unheard of. My family have never come to see me perform before.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was so strange, but then at the same time, like a really good experience, bad experience afterwards. Oh my God. So do you want me just to say what happened after?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened after, so fill us in.
So pretty much beforehand, it's like I'm told 8 minutes of a completely new topic that I've never done. You know, I'm not as experienced as you guys at all. So to come up with 8 minutes of new material on a certain subject and keeping it cleanish was really difficult. So never been more stressed and anxious about a set in my entire life. And then on the night, these massive, like, you know, rushes of just, you know, so much applause. I did really good considering it was all untested. And so I was on a massive high, and then I'm waiting for this podcast to come out, which is a sci-fi comedy podcast. Don't listen to it. So it comes out, and I'm just, like, so looking forward to hearing it, because that laughter, as you know, you feed off it.
Yep.
And Eddie did take a video from the back of the room, but you still don't, like, you don't get the full effect of the laughter. So I'm just waiting for my ego to be stroked. Like, I'm just wanting to share this, being like, this is fucking awesome. And they didn't have an audience mic on. So after every single joke I told where I'm getting laugh breaks, it's just dead silence. So it sounds like I am bombing, the worst that you could ever fucking in your life.
Yeah.
And like, at first I was just like, oh my God, because I didn't know about audience mics. I thought they edited the laughter out. And I'm like, what the fuck, why would they do that? And then I contacted Atlanta and she's like, oh no, we just had the regular mic on. And I'm like, okay. But yeah, it took me a while. I cried. I cried first up, and then afterwards, like, and I knew I'd find it funny later, and now I find it so funny.
Yeah.
But, oh, shit. So it's just was a massive range of emotions connected to it.
Did you think that you bombed for a second? Were you like, no. Oh, it didn't go as well as I thought? Or you were like, no, I know it went well, but something's amiss.
Well, because Eddie had taken that video, I knew. Like, it was really good. Like, in terms of, you know, if you would look for perfection, it would not be like if I had gone and done jokes and, you know, workshopped them at an open mic. So I look back and I'm like, oh, that could have still landed better or been smoother.
Yep.
But it went really well, like, overall. And then, yeah, so just to hear that, it then just becomes a thing of, like, I'm not proud of this anymore. Like, it just loses the whole feel of the night as well the moment you take away the audience laughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd heard how well you went. People were talking about it like a week later. I'm like, oh, did you hear how Lauren went? Like, she crushed. I think James shouted you out in the chat. Mm-mm. It was good. It was good to hear. It's good to hear because you've come off like a pretty substantial break from comedy as well.
Yeah.
So it's sort of been, there's been a few people because when did you start originally?
I think I started just before Broden and Wilson did. And so to where Broden's at now, like, so Broden's been at it and he's kept at it.
No, he hasn't.
No, he hasn't.
Okay.
He's still shit.
Yeah, he's awful.
But
we love him.
I love Broden too. But, I mean, in terms of when you see how much his comedy has progressed in that time compared to where mine has, because I've had big breaks and then when I've come back in, I've only just done the occasional thing. And I think when you're out of the scene, you're not getting all of the I don't know, riffing with other people and keeping in mind on the comedy. And so I just, like, I think I'm at the point now where I'm so fucking over my jokes. Even, like, the ones that I know are great and land every time, almost, I'm just done with them. And so it was good in the comedy podcast that I did get to really push myself and do new stuff. Mm. But I'm still at that point now when it's like, if I'm going to an open mic, I still don't feel like I've got enough to really be not boring.
Why don't
myself.
You just run the gear that you did at the AI show? Because there'd be jokes in there that you could repurpose and tweak to put in the set.
I guess the thing is with the AI show is that I really had to, I don't know, first up trying to explain what my role was.
Yeah.
And then all the stuff is around then supporting that we shouldn't fear it. And then so trying to have that flow to get, I don't know, I guess the main bits in, I think would take longer than that, like 5 minutes, because I was told 8 minutes. And then right beforehand I said, Alanta, how strict are you on this 8 minutes? And she's like, look, as long as you go under 15. And I was like the last person to go up. Yeah. So I think mine went for 13 minutes. So I was allowed to just like, just let those laugh breaks happen while I think a lot of the other ones, like the other speakers pushed through them a bit. So on the podcast, you don't notice so much that the audience mic isn't on. So so at the end, I just sound like I'm bombing compared to, like, so much worse than everybody.
And just sitting in it
and
before you start the next one.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what do you think you'd need to do to cut that down then, that 13 into like chunks that you could use for comedy?
Oh, I think that I would just need to try to make sure I have the right start. Because the way I kind of explained my job was by involving the audience, and because like pretty much what I do with the AI training is that I will give AI questions and then it will come back with two different responses, which I then choose which is the best one. I rate them based on things like factuality and quality and so on, like truthful. Truthfulness is the same. What's the other one, Ethan? There's writing quality, factuality, and
I don't know.
Something else. Instruction following. And then I choose which ones are better. And then I also have an option which I can edit a response. So if it's come up with shit responses, I can just rewrite an entire one and then say to AI that that's perfect.
Yeah.
Which then gets used to feed back into training AI to say, well, this is what the humans like, so produce more things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, I have to kind of explain my role as to the power I guess I have over AI, and that's how I then led into it all. But, yes, pretty much I was acting like I was training two audience members and rewarding them and whatnot. So, I don't know. It there is stuff that I can take. It's just how you line it up. And
maybe you can make it work. I don't know. But
I think the important thing to remember is, like, a lot of comedians, especially when you're writing jokes, you're like, oh man, like, I've got to set it up. Like, we focus too much on the setup, and I don't think we give the crowd enough credit to sort of follow what's going on. So the idea of, like, I've got to set it up and all of that. And obviously you're correct because it worked. You did that 15 minutes and you crushed. So you're right. I'm not saying you're right, but I'm also saying, like, I agree with Ethan in that you can probably cut it down. You can probably introduce your job with a one-liner. Like, just write a one-liner where it's like a throwaway and everyone's like, all right, sweet, that's funny, and she trains AI. And then you can just use a couple of examples and then turn them into one-liners. And then all of a sudden it's like, all right, I've got a 15-minute set. So if I want to roll a fringe show and I need an hour of material, I've got 15 minutes there. But I've also got like a nice tight set where I've got like three or four jokes about AI and they all work because they've been tested. So I think you can do both. And I think if you sit down and you start rolling new gear at the open mics and not worrying about bombing, like, you'll you'll get there so much quicker. Like, there's that's one of the things I think there's a few comedians in the scene who I think are afraid of trying new material.
Mm.
And we don't realise, like, every new joke that you write is better than the last. Like, that feeling of, like, your set at the moment, like, the one that you did at No Holds Barred is a great set. And you're a really funny comedian, but I don't think you give yourself enough credit that you can write new material and it'll be funny. So I think you can just not... even if you don't trust yourself, trust someone who's does comedy fucking 3-4 times a week. Like, I've seen a lot of comedy, and just, like, just trust my advice. Just, like, give it a go.
Oh, Eddie is awesome. So leading up to it, I knew I had some really good jokes. I was like, yeah, that works. But there was stuff which I was like, look, this isn't quite right. And that's where my anxiety was. I was like, this isn't quite right. I'm kind of getting there. I was like, Eddie, can you help me out? And so, like, we kind of just riffed off it, and until I was like, okay, that's now polished. That's, like, that's got something good that I know works. So on the night, I at least went in going, all right, I'm confident in the material. Like, overall, I wasn't...
Yeah.
I didn't have any jokes where I'm like, oh, I don't really know.
And if it doesn't go well, it's Eddie's fault, so it's fine.
But so one really positive thing I did take from this is because I've always gone, like, look, I don't think I have enough material that I could ever do a fringe set. But now going, oh, wow, like, I actually have so much on this topic that I didn't realise. I think the difficult thing, though, on the topic and how these jokes were, it's more intelligent comedy where it, I don't know, I guess in a way, because I've got such, like, usually a dirty sense of humour and, you know, kind of that dark humour as well, it can go, like, I think it would go fairly well usually at open mics and some of the Newcastle sets. But then when I... went more the, like, you know, more academic and stuff like that, I don't know if it would land so well, because I did try to test one of the jokes at the open mic and it bombed, and I'm like, oh, but I knew it was good. But yeah, so I just don't know whether...
And it worked at the show. The
It landed so good.
Like, academic people, it was like built for them.
Yeah
I guess it's just up to how you promo your show, like what type of crowd you're going to attract.
People who don't like to hang out with me normally.
That's the tagline on the poster. For people who don't like to hang out with me normally.
Yeah.
An AI show with filthy undertones or something like that. But, I think maybe there's a bit of, I don't know, like a niche there for, like, because they did like the dirty stuff on the night.
Yeah.
Like, there's a few dirty ones in there and they were crushing.
Yeah.
So I think if you don't push it too far, like, there's obviously a line there somewhere. But like you said, you got away with a suicide joke, which I think nerdy people can all identify with because they're all overthinkers and they all overanalyze shit.
Yeah.
And they've definitely had fucking bad thoughts. They've been probably bullied in school. So there's definitely a connection there that you could make. But, yeah, if you did that as, like, a solo fringe show, I think that, like, an AI show with, like, dirty stuff in it would be a good little niche of, like, that it'd attract a certain crowd. And it'd be good because you could do the same thing that, was it Amelia? Sorry, what's the name? The woman that ran the...
Oh, thing? Atlanta.
Atlanta, sorry. Yeah, I think she would have hit up, like, student groups and, like, unis and, like, all that sort of stuff that's interested in that. Like, you've got those target areas that you can market to.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be good to, like, get people in for a fringe show.
Yeah, I think because they had... you know, university professors, and, like, they had a very diverse lineup in terms of, like, they would all have their own friends and family who would come along.
Yep.
And I think that's what made up a lot of the audience was, oh, I know this person, I know this person. So for me, yay, my family came. But, it, like, I think one of the funnest things about it was that all of the everyone else, you know, is there professional, like, professionally, I can't even fucking speak, and presenting, you know, as these experts. And meanwhile, I come in there with, like, my pyjama pants, my year six graduation t-shirt, just really playing into just how incompetent I am and how many jobs I've had and failed and whatnot. Yeah. So, and I think if I hadn't come from that direction, I don't think I would have gone as well. Mm. So that, yeah, that was a really fun part of it too.
Yeah, you seem to enjoy it.
Yeah.
At least after the fact, you seem pretty nervous up there.
Oh, yeah, I was nervous.
Yeah, I think that's just from like lack of stage time, really.
Oh, because it's like new material.
Yeah, new material.
Yeah, I was like having anxiety attacks out the back pretty much. So I'm trying to like listen in to what everyone's saying to be able to make rebuttals on it. And I was so struggling. And then, there's two women on the affirmative team who, they're like, oh, white men are behind AI. White men.
I was not happy with that. I was like, and they were in high ranking positions at the uni. And I was like, you're in chat. What the fuck?
You're a fucking sexist racist. That's what you are.
Yeah.
One's like, I think she, because both of them are doctors. So we had three different doctors on the team. Oh, well, on the whole thing.
Doctor, cunt. I don't know how
The doctor on our team, her name is Karen. She's freaking awesome. Cannot say a bad word. I haven't socialized with the other two at all, but just the whole, we shouldn't trust AI because it's but white men behind it, white men. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, you know, neurodiverse, like mood disorder, howzo, completely white. Like if you were to actually, like I did a genealogy test and it just came back, I'm white. Like English, Irish, Scottish, Norwegian. Like you can't get any fucking whiter than me. And, you know, as a white woman who, yeah, is definitely, yeah.
But you're not a man.
I'm not a man.
You're okay. You can be on the team.
And my friend who got me into it, she's like full on goth, major mental health issues as well. Like this is who's behind, you know, your AI chatbots. People who are like, just nuts, I guess. You know, and she's married and everything. So, like, it's so different to this. We should be scared of white men. It's like, no, you should be scared of AI because...
You should be scared of white women.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Like, why do you think AI is telling everyone to kill themselves? Like, I'm having a fucking bad day when I'm writing out those responses.
Yeah.
A white woman will ruin your life. Like, she will honeypot you. You'll think everything's all good, and then one day you wake up and you're like, oh, where'd my shit go? I've been listening to like Elon. He's talking about like these fucking house robots that he's building.
Mm-hmm.
A robot slave. Trying to write a bit on it. And just like, how long till the fuckable version comes out? Like he's... Because you see the Tesla bots and they're like, they look pretty like schmick. If you see the videos and you're like, God damn it. You can just put a pussy on that.
I don't think it's that hard. You've already got like those realistic dolls out there. Like in Japan, you can just go in and choose this realistic doll to fuck.
Yeah.
You know, like just put the robot inside that body.
Yeah, exactly. Just give it a fucking, some skin.
It is the road we're going down.
It
like,
is.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And humans will be grown in labs.
You hear that, white women? Fucking chill out, all right? Because we'll replace you. You'll get made redundant.
We're getting replaced too.
Oh, yeah. Fucking oath.
Yeah.
We already have been. You walk into any sex shop and you look at the dildo wall and you're like, God, I've got no chance. Yeah. I'm not competing with that.
I think this might be the first time in history that sex work could actually, like, sex work could be made redundant.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, oh, nah, I'll just deal with this person instead.
Yeah.
She doesn't have boundaries. Like,
yeah, well, I'll just, my house robot has, like, a pussy installed. So it's, like, an all-in-one thing.
Yeah, and I've programmed a personality into it.
Hmm.
So, like, there's... Because there's the AI chatbots at the moment, the AI girlfriends.
Yeah.
And if I had just some money laying around, I'd probably invest in that company because I think it's going to fucking go off.
Mm, especially in Japan.
Yeah.
Where people are super lonely.
Yeah.
And they maybe have sex like 3 times a year.
If that.
And it's rough. It's rough out there for the boys in Japan.
Yeah. It's the same.
And the women over there are slutty too. They'll cheat and all sorts of stuff. They don't care if guys cheat. I was watching a video, like a guy goes and interviews Japanese people.
Mm.
He's like, what's your feeling on, like, your partner going to, or what's your feeling on cheating?
Mm.
And they're like, oh, I don't care if he cheats if it's with a prostitute.
Right. There's no emotional connection.
Yeah, there's no emotional connection. I'm like, oh, do you cheat? She's like, yeah. Yeah, of course. Like, I was like, fuck.
Yeah, well, it's a lot easier for ladies to go out and get
100%
get dick like that easily. And it's not, there is no emotional connection. It's just like a mechanical fucking, you go out, you pick up, you have a one night stand, it's fucking done. Yeah. And then you feel awful in the morning.
Yeah.
One night stands are always terrible. Like, I've never had a one night stand where I'm like, that was the best sex of my life. It's always awkward.
Yeah. Because there's no emotional intimacy.
You don't know each other.
Yeah.
You don't know what each other likes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least with an AI fuckbot, you could just like train her to give a blowjob the way that you like.
Yeah.
Like being like, yep, all right, so you speed up at this time, like just get it all the way down the throat, like whatever, just bite it. You know?
Yeah.
Like if I don't get that programming, so I'm just biting it, you know.
poor Matt. Didn't know Lauren was a biter.
Yeah, poor Matt.
Start calling you the crocodile.
I'm going to make it so dry for you.
Like, going into it, you're like, I'm dehydrated, baby. Yeah. Sandpaper. Tongue feels like a cat's tongue.
Yeah.
Mm,
yeah.
Sexy.
I've thought about doing it. I thought about going to the brothel since all this thing. And I was trying to write a bit on it about how, like, therapy is expensive and it's like $230 a session, but I could just go to the brothel with that money, and in 10 sessions, which one's going to make me get over her quicker?
Yeah. Gosh.
But no, it wouldn't. It's just a distraction.
It'd be like the last time. It wouldn't be as good as you thought it was going to be.
I didn't think it was going to be good, but I didn't think it was going to be that bad.
Yeah. Well, you could always go from the flip side, all right? So rather than going out and paying someone for sex, you just advertise your ass and then just, you know, get some money.
Just get on Grindr and...
Yeah, get on Grindr.
Start making bank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Don't think I'm down for that.
Being a gay gigolo, man. That'd be hard work.
Yeah, I think your asshole would get pretty flogged out.
Yeah, you'd have to like your job.
Yeah.
That's not like a 9-to-5 job where you're like, oh man, this is a little soul destroying, but you know, it pays the bills.
If I'm doing the fucking, I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The other way around would be the money would have to be pretty good.
What's your
everyone's
number?
Got their price though.
What's your number?
My number. To put your dick in my ass.
Yeah.
For how long? Like, are we talking like an hour session?
Ooh. Till I finish. So it's on you.
How good is that asshole?
Yeah.
How good?
That makes me feel fairly confident. I'm a competitive person, so yeah. I reckon I could get it done pretty quick.
It sounds quite a virgin asshole. I'm sure it's tight. Like. You know.
The Jew clan.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah. It's definitely not a virgin arsehole.
Yeah. There's been fingers in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably like $5,000.
$5,000?
Yeah.
Well, I got 10 sitting in the bank now.
All right. You can drill me twice before you leave.
Yeah. You're 2 for 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, I come so quick the first time, you're like, fuck it. All right, I'll give you a second.
And then Ethan's going out and treating himself.
Yeah, what's my number? I should be careful putting this out on the internet too.
Someone's going to come offer it to you.
Someone might throw the cash down on the table. Fuck. Probably not though. Probably not. They're probably like, maybe for you, you could get someone $5,000. I don't think. $5,000's, cash on the table. Fuck my butt. Yeah, $5,000. I'd probably get $5,000. Cash on the table right then and there. Like, all right, you got any ammo? Let's see what happens.
Oh, I didn't really consider this probably. I should have went more Jewish on it. Started at 10.
Yeah.
If we're negotiating.
Yeah, people's numbers drop real quick when there's cash on the table, though. Yeah. Like, $5,000. And I'm not worth $5,000.
No.
I don't think, like, you can...
I think we're way over the fucking...
We are so far.
Where we're supposed to be to off the mark.
Like, yeah, we're like.
What's the going rate?
Yeah, we're giving air conditioning quotes for $800 here. There's people throwing around for $400.
You're twice over what you should be.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's for someone who knows what they're doing. You're just starting out.
Yeah.
You should be doing it for free.
Yeah, honestly, I should be paying someone to fuck me for $5,000. Yeah. that's how it should be working.
So that you can figure out the ins and outs of the.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to get married. That's expensive.
Mm.
I'm like I've met guys who've spent like tens of thousand dollars at strip clubs and stuff like that. They'll talk about that.
Mm.
And they're like, yeah, man, I regret it. It's like still cheaper than marriage.
Yeah.
It's still cheaper than marriage.
Lauren knows this. You've been through it.
Well, okay, so my first wedding, I had like the full wedding. I don't know. I would say like at least 20,000. Like, I actually bartered down heaps with the different providers.
What year was that?
2012. 1st December 2012, because it was a fucking hot day, like awful day. But it was like the big wedding. You know, I had like, I think about 100 guests or so, people there who, you know, not close to you, but I felt obliged to have there. And well, we saw how that marriage went, terribly. And then with the second one, I just went the opposite way. Like, I didn't do a bridal party, didn't do any of that. Like, it was much smaller, and I think all up maybe like 6,000, you know, like, rather than, I'm sure this is boring, but instead of, you know, going and buying a full wedding dress, I got a bridesmaid's dress in ivory, like all that kind of stuff. And so we just had like a morning ceremony, a nice lunch where we're just like, hey, instead of gifts, can you just buy your lunches? And then afterwards, we went and played laser tag. And then we had a house party where I was just, I got, okay, so I don't do drugs generally. I hadn't really done edibles. And I'd got like these cookies from a guy at a backpackers hostel. And I'm just like going, half a cookie for you, half a cookie for you. My friends don't usually do drugs. I ate a whole cookie. And fuck, it was, the night ended on a high, but it was so crazy.
Like, bit of a rough ride.
Oh, I was hallucinating. I thought, like, because we had a karaoke machine, I thought my whole living room had turned into, like, the Civic Theater. So much love. I've got a friend masturbating in the floor, another one obsessed with the wall. Like, another friend who has done every fucking drug under the sun. Like, she was a raver. And she's in my bedroom going, Lauren, I don't know what was in that, but I've never had anything like this in my life. And I'm like, oh, shit. Then, of course, I'm panicking, going, I've just like drugged my friends. Yeah. I'm going to be caught in this trip forever. Like, if the police rock up at the door, I can't snap out of this like I would when I'm drunk. Like, oh my God. It was a very, very crazy second wedding.
And how did that didn't end well either, did it?
No. He decided that he just didn't want to fuck me ever, love me ever. It was that whole thing of like, I love you, but I'm just not in love with you.
Gross.
And then, yeah.
Sounds like a real fagua.
Yeah.
At the very end, he's like, I think I might be asexual. It's like, that would make sense. And there was a lot of other issues, lots of other issues. But
sounds pretty fucking gay to me.
Yeah. Put a finger in his bum and he's like, oh, maybe I'm not asexual.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe I'm homosexual.
That's
I'm so glad I didn't fucking propose. Can you imagine that, dude?
Dude.
Fuck. I put a ring on that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Could have been bad.
Or knock her up.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to knock her up because. Yeah.
Well, I remember. Sorry, I'm interrupting. I remember because it'd been ages since I'd seen you. Like, the last time I saw you guys, you know, you like were discussing kids and marriage and that kind of thing. I was like, oh, this is really serious. And then, seeing you.
It was.
Like the other week.
Yeah.
It was pretty serious.
Yeah.
Seriously fucked up. Oh, yeah. What do you do?
That's fucking life, man.
Yep.
Sometimes you fucking win, sometimes you lose. And
at least I didn't lose half my shit.
Yeah, true. That's very true, man.
Guys love, like, they're attracted like to us crazy chicks because we're like, I don't know, it's like we're alcoholic poison, I guess. Like, you know, it tastes so good, but then like we're slowly killing you.
That's what it felt like. I felt like I was addicted to something that was hurting me all the time, and I'm just like, I just keep going back for more.
Yeah,
I'm like, this thing fucks me up, but I can't stop doing it.
God, and like, okay, so as you guys know, Matt and I broke up for quite a bit. But we, like, you know, it was a very toxic relationship beforehand. And I'm, like, so fucking toxic. I'll admit it. Like, you know, after all this time, you know, yeah, you become toxic. But we did so much therapy together. And he was so committed to it. He was the one that was chasing it. And, you know, our whole relationship's transformed. But, yeah, like, I don't know. I just feel like the crazier you are, the more guys just get attracted to you because you just have, like, an energy. I don't know how many times I've been proposed to, like, so many fucking times. And it's just like, what's going on? But, yeah, crazy
I think
chicks.
It's that thing in guys is like, oh, I can fix that. Or, like, other people don't see the potential, but I do.
I don't think anyone was trying to fix me. That probably could have improved things if they did. I think, like, I have very much been in that thing of wanting to fix other people.
Right.
As well, like, yeah, I'm like, who's damaged? Like, who can I, you know, like, resolve my childhood traumas with? Like,
yeah. Did you go no contact with Matt?
We were in contact and we were fucking the whole time still, but he was living 4 hours away and was having to sort out his life and what was going on with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we weren't around each other because before in the past, like, I was always someone who in relationships, I just wanted to be with a person. I hated being alone.
Yep.
And now I fucking love being on my own. Like, we live separately. It is the best thing. Our biggest arguments are usually like, no, you come to mine. No, you come to mine. Like, but we are both just really loving our own space now. Like, the whole dynamics have changed, but yeah. So, like, we had distance at times, but, yeah, there had to be so much change.
Yeah.
And, like, so much commitment from both people to own their shit as well. And our therapist was so good because she, like, was like, okay, so let's go back to childhood. What was your childhood like? And we talked through that and that's how you kind of I came out of it. But my other marriages and stuff I'd done relationship counselling with and, well, it sucked. They didn't heal them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did you have any, like, self-acknowledgement? Because that's, like, huge.
Oh, yeah. Like, I have my shit. Like, I have my own trauma that you bring to the table. Like, you know, I put it in my comedy. My dad committed suicide. So, you know.
You're willing to admit that you had issues in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if both people aren't working on it, then it doesn't fucking work.
Yeah, no.
If one person's pulling all the weight, then it's like, well, this isn't going to fucking work.
So, yeah. So when you've got, like, that little inner child who's like, daddy issues, abandonment, and, like, oh, you know, wanting to, I don't know, fix that somehow. Like, I think subconsciously getting attracted to guys with mental health issues and wanting to fix that and, you know, being that therapist to them when you're just not qualified and you're dying, you know, inside yourself. So I think, just break, like, identifying that and breaking those patterns and everything. But, yeah, my exes, like, were, oh, no, I don't want to do counselling anymore. Like, they stepped away. They weren't committed to it. And when you don't have both people wanting to do that, then, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly where I ended up. It was weird. We went to couples therapy and it was just like, completely disassociated, just like, no. I'm like, well, this isn't going to fucking work out. The writing's on the wall.
Yeah. It's good to hear that you've gone through it and you've come out of it positively, and I think that's where it comes. Like, therapy is someone, like, we were talking about it today, like, I've done, like, dozens and dozens and dozens. Like, wouldn't be surprised if it was well over 100, like, individual therapy sessions over the last 6 or 7 years, and then since I was a kid as well. And I think what they need to do when they sit you down for therapy is explain, hey, this isn't meant to make you feel better all the time. It's like, it's about making, like, some really positive changes in your life, but they fucking suck when you've got to admit that, like, your way of thinking, and because we all want to think we're right. We all want to think, oh, my way's I'm the sane one in this room.
Yeah.
Like, no one wants to think I'm a fucking crazy motherfucker and this line of thinking that I've got is completely wrong and it's there to protect my ego.
Yeah.
As well. Like, that's a huge thing. It's a huge thing in comedy as well. I think that's why I think comedians do well with therapy, because we're used to acknowledging the fact that we suck.
Yeah.
Like, not all comedians are, but, like, the good ones are. Like, yeah. If you can acknowledge that you suck, you can get better because you're like, all right, well, I know what not to do.
Yeah.
But if you can't acknowledge when you suck, or you don't want to acknowledge when you suck, you never get better.
Yeah.
That's why you see open micers 5-6 years down the line.
Doing the same shit.
Doing the same shit, bombing every fucking week, and, like, they bomb and then they walk out the back. And then when someone really bombs, like when they really, really bomb, you don't even want to be near them. It's like, oh, fuck, I don't want to catch that. It's gross.
Yeah. And that's what it's like being around people that aren't introspective and self-reflective.
Or
yeah.
being around someone that you just know sleeps around a lot and you're like, fuck, don't want to touch that. I'm the opposite, though, and I think that was the thing is, like, I had such a view of I'm broken, I'm damaged and whatnot, but... But I, like, my first major mental health stuff was already in high school, and, like, my first counsellor was actually a school counsellor who was doing, like, my angel cards for me. Like, it was so weird. She wasn't really counselling. She was, like, I don't know, spiritual guidance. And I also had the school nun as well that tried to give me counselling, good old Catholic schools. But as soon as I was like, hey, yeah, I feel suicidal, they were like, oh, okay, too hard for us. And then I got moved on into the mental health team in the community. And then I was in a psych ward for like 5 months as a teenager. Like, I guess I've had from such a young age people being like, there is something wrong with you, like your brain doesn't work right and all of that stuff, that it can become, I don't know, really hard to get past that of, like, I've never felt normal. I've never felt like my brain is the sane one in a room unless I'm in a psych ward, and then I can silently judge other people. But like, where's the bar?
That's kind of what attracts the mentally ill people to you, is like, you're like, well, I'm not as bad as them.
I met my first husband in a psych ward. Like, the writing was on the wall that it was fucked. Like,
and it was in feces.
Actually, we did actually have a guy come in because it was in the PEC unit, the MARTA, which is like the psychiatric emergency.
Yeah, we've both been there.
They got the Ethan and Bentley room, the suite.
Well, I was the only girl in there, so they had me in a room, but we had a guy come in overnight who was just so drunk, and he was like piss and shit kind of drunk. And so I was in there waiting to be transferred to Lakeside because I'm a psych ward snob. If I'm gonna have a mental breakdown, I want to do it in style. Like, Lakeside beautiful.
Sounds good.
The Lakeside, fuck, it's like a hotel. You know, they're like, here, do you want a hot towel? Like, you know, great.
Give
food.
You a robe.
Give me there was no robes. I feel like that just opens you up too much to having those people who are like, let me just do a little bit of flashing, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That
we'll take out the band. Out of the robe.
Yeah, that too. I was thinking that too, maybe. Yeah, it'd be an open robe, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Or they'd have buttons on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's all voluntary there, so you can technically leave at any time. Meanwhile, like, when I was in Nexus as a teenager, I was in there involuntary. So when I escaped from there, like, fuck, it was an achievement. Like, it was awesome to get out for that day.
Yeah.
Until, long story, I ended up having the police bring me back, but, like, that also included me running from police in Jules, like, which, if you know Jules, nothing fucking happens in Jules. So when you've got, like, a police officer sitting on the ground on top of you, all of Jules comes out. Like, it was, like, the biggest scene. So much fun. Got out of the handcuffs in the back of the paddy wagon, ended up having a police officer, like, holding me down. We had the sirens on. And back then Nexus was new. It had been open, like, 6 weeks before I went in. And so they didn't realise about that. So they're taking me to James Fletcher. I'm like, I don't go there. And they're like, yeah. So then they got turned around, and I gave them the really long directions back to the hospital. Then had a police officer having me in a headlock on the way, like, back through the whole John Hunter to get to the back of it. And so I'm fucking making a scene, massive scene. Yeah. And like, just gave them fucking hell. And then going in there, and then they're like, I just acted calm, like, no, you're going to get sedated now. So Yeah, yeah. Naughty needle time.
Yeah. We've all had the naughty needle.
Yeah. Naughty needle, so much
Well, fun. I didn't get the naughty needle.
Didn't you?
No, when I got in there, I was like, I'd had so many adrenaline dumps throughout. So I went in for suicidal ideation and a couple of attempts. Like, I'd planned it all out. I'd
reinforced it out. The roof rafters.
Yeah, no. I was gonna have a car crash. I was gonna try and make it look like an accident. So I was just gonna. Yeah. I was gonna have like not a good night's sleep. Mm. I wasn't sleeping.
Can I just say, if you're struggling right now, Lifeline's number is, what is it? Aren't you meant to do that generally? Yeah, Lifeline, just Google it. Yep, continue, Mitch.
Talk, reach out. You can message me. If you're feeling suicidal, message me.
Or if you want to do it, message me and I'll encourage you.
Yeah.
This life sucks.
Yeah.
Get out while you can.
Yeah.
Hold on. Don't you want your views for the podcast to be improving? Let's not knock out half of the population.
Half of our listeners just drop off.
Yeah, if you don't want to do it, talk to me. If you do want to do it, talk to Ethan.
And if you are looking for someone to get into a meaningful relationship with who can possibly try to fix you, I have a few friends who might, be willing to be your rehab and cop your shit for a while. So,
yeah.
Awesome. I might take you up on one of those.
Yeah. So by the time I got in there, my nervous system was so shot. I was a wreck. Like, I hadn't eaten properly in a few days. I was like, that, those attempts when you do it, like the adrenaline dump afterwards, it like makes you feel alive as well. You're like, oh, that was fucking close. I nearly got it that time. And then like when I finally stopped and like called and got help and went to the hospital, by the time I was there, I was just fucked. So they gave me this stuff and it chilled me right out. And then the next day, Tanya is in there with me until I fell asleep. The next day you wake up and you're like, proper night's sleep after not sleeping properly for weeks. The sedation, and I was just super chill, and I was just out in the backyard. They've got that backyard area,
yeah,
the windows, the sliding doors, and there was like a meth head arguing with the nurse at the thing about the phones, because they always argue with the nurses, and I'm watching him, and she's just like, yeah, well, my dad used to beat. The nurse said this to the guy. He's like, well, my dad used to beat him. He's like, well, you probably fucking deserved it. And I was sitting there watching this. I was watching this, like, back and forth between this young nurse saying horrifically inappropriate and personal things to this guy. It might have been the guy, I swear to God, it might have been, who's the fucking crazy dude from the open mics? What's his name?
Eugene.
It might have been Eugene.
It could have been.
It could have, no, I'm serious. It could have been Eugene. He looked like, now that I'm thinking back on it, it might have been Eugene. So I might have been in the psych ward with Eugene.
Yeah.
So he's going back and forth with her and he's fucking clearly like pissed off, so he's swearing and then he's out the back, and then there's a meth head there, and he's like like meth head's like fucking bouncy and, oh, hey, yo, mate, like real friendly with me, and I'm like, oh yeah, good man. He's like, oh yeah, man, when'd you get in? I said, oh, last night. He's like, oh yeah, man. He goes, I've been in here for 6 months or 9 months or something crazy. He goes, I'm trying to get clean. He goes, but I still got all my teeth. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude, you got all your teeth. He goes, you're so chill, man. I'm like, yeah, they gave me some good shit. He's like, oh, what'd they give you? I don't know, man. And then Eugene is there, and I was like,
allegedly.
I was worried. I was like, because if he starts on me, it's like, I was like, I don't care right now. I was like, I kind of want to die. I was like, I want to die. So I was like, if I've got to fight this cunt, I'm going to beat the fucking shit out of him.
I had that. Yeah. I had that recently, yeah. On the fucking, I was at Bradley's watching the UFC. I missed the fucking main event, which I was pretty cut about.
Yeah.
But Volk lost anyway, so who cares? But on the way back, because I worked the comedy club, and I caught the ferry over from Stockton and caught it back. And on the way back, there was like this big party going on at like where you catch the ferry.
Yeah.
I think it's where the tower used to be, the Big Dick Tower. They're having like a party there. Music's pumping, and then like all these lads are like, and other cunts that have work the next day that are like tapping out. They're all on the ferry with me. I'm sitting at the back by myself, and then like these lads come along with like a portable speaker, and they're just like pumping music, and I'm just like, please just say something, just start on me.
Yeah.
I don't care if I lose, because I don't care about anything right now, but I was not in a good space.
Yeah.
At all. I was like, oh man, can't wait to throw one of yous off the boat into the fucking water.
Yeah.
I don't get that. Like, I don't. Like, even when someone has done, like, the worst fucking shit in the world, I don't have it in me to, like, go, I could feel better with violence right now. Mm. Or, hey, it would be so good if that person, like, tried. Like, I could not even win in a fight against a 10-year-old, I reckon. Like, I describe myself as small, breakable and rapeable. Like, I am fucked the moment, like, any guy even tries to come near me and be like, hey, let me hurt her.
Oh, I probably would have lost too. There was like more of them
numbers,
than me.
Man, it doesn't matter.
They would have fucked me up. But I was like, I don't care. I'm just gonna go as hard as I can.
I was just like, oh man, like that idea of like that self-destructive, like fuck it attitude.
Yeah.
Is like, I know what the feeling is when people fuck up big time and they end up in jail. I can empathize with that feeling because I've had it so many times.
And it doesn't last long.
It doesn't last long. It's
maybe 15 minutes tops.
And the feeling of if you've done it, like if you've gone and hurt someone, like when it's all said and done, you're like, oh, fuck, but God, it feels good when you're doing it.
Oh,
it's like masturbating to something really fucking graphic.
Really heinous, yeah.
Oh, God.
That post-nut clarity. Post-violence clarity is way worse than post-nut clarity.
I cannot clear the fucking search history fast enough. Dude. Like that shame.
Yeah. It's the same.
Oh, no, that poor girl. That's someone's daughter.
Yeah. Like, now I'm just like, I feel like completely unable to relate to you now. It's like, yes, let's relate on this. Oh no, unrelatable. And I'm that person being like, oh, I'm that daughter. Like, you know.
Yeah.
I like. But like, look, we're all fucked up in different ways.
Well, you grow up and you recognize it, and it's probably more of a male thing, like that type of reaction.
Yeah.
Is that's programmed into us, is to be on a deep level, is to like. And it usually comes out of protection in a weird way. That's the weirdest thing about it. Like people that are schizophrenic and they fucking fly off the handle and murder their family, it's because the voices in their head were telling them, like, you need to do this for your own protection. Like, there's something going to happen if you don't do it.
So,
it's weird. It's like a protective fucking thing.
So I live next door to a halfway house. People jail, go in there. And then you just like, I think they may manage the halfway house too. I don't know. So it's like,
well, you got to keep them coming back.
We're going to have to edit that bit out because you can't out a drug dealer.
Yeah, but no, I'm using an alias. I'm not saying which part of Maitland I live in. I'm sure we have like at least 50 well-known ones around, you know, like if
next
I say
to every halfway house,
I live across the road to where, like, I mean, there's been stabbings. I'm sure there's a lot of places.
Like how last time Lauren was on the pod, she's like, we should edit this part out. And now you're like, no, we need to edit it out.
We have like a resident schizophrenic who's been outside like the entire time. I've been there for about like 3 years, almost four. And he's always talking to himself. He usually is like just laughing with whoever he's talking to. He went through a stage recently though where he's just
schizophrenic killing.
Yeah, he went through a stage recently where he was like off. He's like really losing it. But my neighbor captured this video the other day where I don't know what he's on now, but it's like he was obviously also hallucinating furniture, and so it was like the best miming show that you like could watch as him like on the street and moving things onto a table and sitting down. But you never talk to him. He doesn't talk to anyone. But then I found out someone said he'd like done time, like 10 years in jail for manslaughter or something.
Oh, fuck.
So now it's like, I'm glad I live in a secure building. But hopefully he just focuses on the voices he interacts with. So.
Yeah, there's one. There's a place down the road from me. There's a schizophrenic meth head, and he mows the lawn at like 9:30 at night. So he'll be fucking on it, and like you'll hear it. You just hear someone out front just like talking to himself, and then you hear the fucking lawnmower start up. Fucking crackheads, man. God damn it.
Loose, like, and so soft.
I don't care what you want to do. Like, fucking, if you want to smoke crack, fucking smoke crack. I'm pro, like, choice, but...
Yeah, don't make it my problem.
Yeah, don't make it my problem. Don't That's come into my
the
fucking...
whole thing, man. That's what I was like the whole time. It's like, drink whatever you want, smoke whatever you want, do whatever you want. But as soon as you start letting other people down because of it, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
Or noise complaints. Yeah. You know, why couldn't your neighbour just hallucinate the lawnmower and actually have, like, overgrown grass?
Dude, imagine. He's just out the front, just... just not pushing. And then one night I told him, I was like, look, man, it's 9:30. I set it out my window. I was like, look, man, 9:30 at night. Like, go to bed.
Yeah.
And then he's, like, shoved his lawnmower down towards my car. So my car's parked out on the street. And then Tanya could immediately see that in situation. She's like, Mitch, don't do it.
Don't do it.
I'm like, fuck. And then someone from across the road started on him too. Yeah, shut the fuck up. Some bogan. And then he's gone to start it again. And the bloke's like, oi, fucking cut it out, cunt. and then he's like, because I said it first. And he's like, it's good to see someone else fucking yelling out at these fucking cunts. I was like, yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for the backup.
Yeah.
You're good, mate. Pretty sure it was the dude who burned his boat down.
Because I live in an area which, like, you know, there is just constant bogan fights. Like, yeah, fuck you, you fucking cunt, you're sleeping in, like, you know, like,
yeah.
Little, like, so I love recording it. And then Matt's now moved to a place which I won't say, like, even if I gave the nickname of the street, people would know where he lives. But, like, in Maitland area, it's the kind of the equivalent of Hemo South Flats type of housing Hassle area.
Yeah.
And so every night almost there's always something going on. So I like to record it, and I'm hoping, like, at the end of the year to just gather all those recordings and then just fake, like, a meditation CD, like the sounds of nature. But just, yeah, making a spin on all these, like, bogan sounds.
Dude, I can't believe... I can't believe there's, like, the level of housing commission in Hamilton South, like Hassle Street and, like, that whole area. You're like, what the fuck, dude? Like, this could be uni housing.
Could be a lot of things.
It could be a lot of things. But instead, like, I get it. Like, obviously people need a place to live, but...
It's just too big, I think. They need to spread it out a bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, you can't just put them all in one area.
No, they're fucked.
And that's kind of like one of those last ones where it's like they're all in there. Like even Windale's better than that now.
Oh,
like it has its pockets in some streets where you're like, oh, there's too much of it there.
But yeah,
if you spread it out house by house, I'm like...
I used to work as a caseworker, and I had two clients come in who one was living in his car, homeless. So both of them had been living at Hemo South Flats. And it was just so bad that they'd rather be homeless. And the other guy, he actually was a refugee from over in some African country, I can't remember. And, you know, like, very intelligent man, but with Australia, trying to get into work when, like, he could speak English, but he had a thicker accent. Newcastle, we're pretty racist as a place overall. I think he had a lot of challenges then. and so he actually came to me looking for help to actually be able to move back home.
Wow.
Because he's like, this is worse than my freaking country.
I'd rather fight African warlords than, like, the fucking slums of Hamo.
He was like, it's worse here than it was in my country that I've just escaped to. And because he had family over there as well. He was like, my mum doesn't even have a front door there. Like, and I guess because he's on... Like,
I'd rather brave a machete attack than live in Hamilton South.
That's pretty much what you're braving living in Hamilton South. So because he was on JobSeeker, over there they then have this view that you're in Australia, you're wealthy, and so then there was pressure on him to be sending money back home. And, he was like, no, I'm better off going here. And I think anyone who pretty much doesn't have so much of the social issues that go on there, really struggle to live there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, I don't think the ambulance even go there without police escort now, so...
Yeah,
it's very...
full on.
We've
got to wrap this up soon, but, yeah.
Yeah. That was like, there's an area in Taree that the police, if your car gets stolen and you go into the car's in this area, they will not go in to retrieve it. They're like, because they will start throwing bricks at us. Like, the entire neighbourhood will come out and start throwing fucking bricks at us. Like, we can't go in there. So, if you...
Peter Fleet.
Yeah. I wasn't going to mention the name. People call me racist.
It's the truth.
It is the truth.
They don't go into Perfleet.
Yeah. Yeah. They had a sign there. It's like, watch out, kids about. And then someone spray painted with rocks. Because they used to sit up on this... They used to break down this wall. Like, they smashed it down. And they used to use the wall to throw rocks at passing traffic.
On the highway.
On the highway. Yeah. Little cunts. Fucking hell.
In Matt Street, just a few days ago, a guy had just rocked up and there's some chick that I think he's bashing on, but he's got a hammer and he's just like smashing up a car just in broad daylight.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if you think about it, Ethan, at least your breakup's not like that. You know,
My
van is still intact.
Yeah.
Is there police
My
with you?
My cock
right
hasn't
now?
Been chopped off and thrown out a window. Yeah, it could be, much baited. Fucking worse.
Yeah. All right. Got any bits you're working on, Ethan?
Yeah.
Most of it you perform.
Quite a few. I want to do self-defense classes because that's who I need fucking defending from most, myself.
I like it.
That's good.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Yeah. Obviously, I was talking about the AI fuckbot and all of that stuff.
Yeah. No one's wished death upon me more.
Yeah. Fucking third world countries getting camera phones now is the wildest thing in the last few years. Because now...
They've had them for a while, haven't they?
They've had them for a while, but...
Seen a lot of fucking Indian footage on Live Leak of people on trains getting fucked up.
Why is there only two types of vehicle in India? It's either buses, or it's either trucks or fucking motorbikes or mopeds.
Yeah.
There's no in between. It's like, motherfuckers, they don't mix. Like, they don't mix. You don't want trucks and motorbikes. Yeah. In it fucking dirt roads.
Yeah.
And not to mention... You've got 1 billion people. Why are there no dirt roads? Why are there all dirt roads? Why are there no tarred roads in India? Like, what the fuck? You've got 1 billion people. Just everyone chuck in $2.
Well, they don't have $2 to chuck in. That's the problem.
Tar your fucking roads. Fucked. Yeah. No, it's the government is just corrupt over there. Yeah.
When are you coming back to comedy, Lauren?
Want to go on to that last point of just ask Bobby. He might be able to tell you what's going on.
Yeah, Bobby will be able to tell us.
I don't know. I was back there the other week. I'm going to just work on stuff. I hope to come back more, but I do need to just get over my being completely bored of my own jokes. But on the way here, I had some type of there's some type of premise there about, all this attention seeking behavior people have, but how it's called support seeking, That's what we're changing it to. So I thought there's something there that can be worked on with what type of attention seeking we could say is that.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. We've got shows coming up in April and March. What do we got? We have... Sorry, guys. I'm not very organised. I was in the wrong note. And then we're booked in for Weird Wednesdays on the 10th is Show Us Your Bits. And the 24th of April is this something. And we've also got 8th and 22nd of May as well. So
sweet.
Well, March 13th is my birthday. I've kind of told my family they have to do something for me on that evening.
Yep.
So pretty much it's
cancel
my guilt.
Your plans.
It's like
come to a show.
Yeah, instead of guilt tripping my family into just putting on a dinner for me, go do a show.
Awesome.
Perfect.
All right. Thanks for coming on, Lauren.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Good to see
you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.